reading we heard the story of God and Theos, meaning the king and Theos. So then we saw how it was really rich and powerful, but there was a moment in his life where he felt that death was approaching. And that was kind of a moment of truth, where all his dreams and all that life full of richness and pleasures and power, you know, I am the king, thinking that he was almost God, that he can do whatever he wants or whatever he likes, all of that disappears suddenly. He was filled with an immense sadness and anguish, because everything that was holding his life was about to disappear through death. Then this experience is common to every man, and we have to face death that brings us some questions. It's a big moment, a big step. And that's why our Lord is giving us light through the hope of resurrection. Resurrection. Resurrection is difficult to understand, because, let's say, like the evidence proves or shows that death is death. That you see the bodies, they are, you know, buried, and after a few years there's nothing there. That's an evidence. Then if you approach the mystery of death only through your reason, you cannot go like farther. And that's why our Lord is talking about resurrection. First of all, even for the people, you know, that were listening to him, the true idea about resurrection was kind of impossible. That's why the example they were trying to put him in was not working, because the resurrection they can think was like the one with Lazarus. Somebody who is coming back to this life, that's what, you know, for them was resurrection. It was not properly true resurrection, because Lazarus was going to die again. But Jesus speaks about another resurrection. Resurrection that he was going to accomplish in himself. Jesus was talking about his death, his passion, then on the third day, on the third day he will rise from the dead. Only our Blessed Mother was keeping the faith in God. We saw how the disciples were like discouraged. When they saw Jesus hanging on the cross, when they saw him dead, when they saw the soldier piercing his heart, his side, they were like discouraged. And we see that like disciples of Emmaus, we thought he was going to be the savior of Israel. And now, you know, 3 days ago, he passed away. It's true that some of the women said that, you know, women, who can believe women? And then they were discouraged. Our Blessed Mother was like the only one keeping a true faith in the words of Jesus, in the resurrection. And then the Lord was truly risen, you know. His tomb was empty. That's the first thing that the disciples saw. The tomb was empty. And Peter and John, they were running to see that. And of course, you know, his body was not there. It would be difficult for them to believe in the resurrection if the body of Jesus was there. But the body was not there. That's the first step, like the first thing they see. And suddenly, I mean, Jesus will appear to them. And he will show them his hands, his side, the wounds of the cross. The same one who was crucified is now alive. Is now alive. It's the living one. And even, as you know, like Thomas, for him was difficult to believe in the resurrection. And Jesus was telling him, you know, come, Thomas, introduce your finger into my hand's wound. Introduce your hand into my side wound and believe. Believe. And this is what the Lord is telling us today. And we need to increase our faith in the resurrection of our bodies. It is a truth of our faith, and it is an essential truth. St. Paul said, if Jesus Christ is not risen, everything else falls apart. Our faith has no sense, has no meaning, because it would be a faith only for this world, and everything would be false. If we don't have hope, eternal life, if we don't believe in the resurrection, our faith has no sense, has no meaning. Because we will die like anybody else, and then we will be rotten in the coffin, and that's it. But Jesus is alive, and He is sustaining our faith. And precisely because He said, I'm going to rise again, and He did, we believe and we can have the certainty and the security of eternal life in Him. In Him. And with Him, and then our faith and our living with Him is beginning in some way our resurrection too. When we live according to the law of the Lord, when we have His divine life in us, we are beginning to foretaste heaven here on earth. We have His life in us. The life of the grace is not going to be different in heaven. We don't see God with our eyes now. We will see Him in heaven. But the same life, the same divine life that I have in me when I am in a state of grace is the grace and the life I'm going to have in heaven. There is no difference. That is why life of grace is so important for us. That is why the life of grace has to be like our main work here, to have God living in me and to make that life grow. I came so that they can have life in abundance. God is not giving His divine life like drop by drop. He's generous, He's infinite. If we are not holier, it's because we don't open our hearts to Him. Because we don't want to receive His graces. Because we are maybe too busy in something else and we are forgetting the essential things of our life, of our Christian life, our holiness. We believe in the resurrection. We believe in Jesus Christ. And that is why we can live in a different way. Our horizon is not just this world, this life. It's not to have money, pleasure, power. We believe in eternal life, and that horizon of eternal life is marking all of our existence. We are called to share that resurrection, to be with God forever. St. Paul said, there, here I see like in a mirror. We're thinking in a mirror at St. Paul's time. It would be like glory, not as clear as we have mirrors today. Now we see us in a mirror, but then we will see face to face. And He said, I will know as I am known. Can you imagine that? We will know the Lord in the same way that He knows us. We will be able to participate in His divine life, to satiate our souls with His infinite beauty and truth and love. And we will rest forever. We will reach the shore of that ocean of life. And we will rest in Him forever. That is the beauty of our faith. The truth of our faith. You see, it's not that we are like creating this as a tale. This is the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. He not only said, I'm going to rise. He did. He is alive. That's why we believe. Sustains all of our faith. And then He is with us in the Eucharist. He gives Himself to us every day in the Eucharist. And the Eucharist is also the beginning of our eternal life. That's wonderful. That is wonderful. To receive Jesus Christ is the beginning of eternal life here. To eat the risen, the glorified flesh of our God is the beginning of our eternal life. It's the beginning of our resurrection. Because He is in us, because His glorified flesh is living in me, I can be transformed as His image. And this poor body of mine will be also transformed with glory in heaven. And we share forever the glory of God. That's the dignity of human body. That's why we keep like chastity, purity. Because this body, our flesh, has been created for glory. Not to be an instrument of sin, but to reflect the glory of God in our flesh. That's the beauty of human purity, Christian chastity. My brothers and sisters, today we need to renew our faith in the resurrection. We believe the resurrection from the dead. And as I said, this is giving sense to our whole life. And then we are going to ask Our Lady to increase our hope in the resurrection. We know that our body, our human body, is the only one that is in heaven with Jesus. She is the only one that has experienced the resurrection, the only human person that has experienced resurrection. She is in heaven, soon into heaven, body and soul, and she intercedes for us as our mother. She knows each one of us. She knows of our battles, of our difficulties. She knows about our desires, our dreams, our difficulties when we are trying to live according to her son's will. And she's interceding for us as a mother, as a mother. She is not only the mediatrix, but her mediation is maternal. She is a mother. And she knows each one of us, and she is interceding for us. Do not forget her in your prayer, in your life. Jesus Christ gave her as our mother from the cross. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Jesus Christ is telling you that words today again. Behold your mother. Behold your mother. Then St. John's Gospel said, after saying that, Jesus said, it is accomplished. In giving His mother to us, the whole mystery of salvation was accomplished. Then, in receiving our Blessed Mother, we need to understand how important this is. Our Blessed Mother is not like an accident in the work of salvation. Well, God was choosing her. She was in the eternal plan of salvation, in the moment in which God was thinking about the Incarnation, in the moment when God was deciding that the incarnation of the second person of the Trinity was going to take place, our Blessed Mother was present there. And she has been like dreaming by God. And she has been participating into the work of our redemption. And after being at the foot of the cross, she became the mother of the church. And now in heaven, she intercedes for each one of us. Her motherly heart is always open to your prayers, to your needs. Ask her to help you to reach Jesus Christ and to reach eternal life and to be eternally happy with her, with Jesus, with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, and with all the blessed and all the saints in heaven. Can you imagine? Would we be surrounded by the glory of God and share with all our brothers and sisters that glory, that life, that joy, forever. That is eternal life. That's why it's so many. It's worthy for us to do the effort to live, to fight in this life, this passing life, to live with our eyes and our hearts fixed in eternal life.